I invite you to look around the room at all of these brothers and sisters in Christ, friends that you may know. You may not be able to name every one of them anyway, but take a deep breath and exhale. Realize that you're among friends. Share the same common love of Jesus and the same common love for this church. Thinking about crowds. The crowds were pressing in on Jesus when the woman reached out to touch the hem of his robe and was healed. The crowd laughed when Jesus was at the home of Jairus and said that the little girl was only sleeping and not dead. Crowds sometimes overstep their boundaries. How's it been with you with crowds? Have you known the laughter of a crowd, that sting of embarrassment? Or have you felt the pressure of a crowd bearing down on you about something? Do you lose your patience when you're in a crowd of strangers? Do you notice some of your own prejudices rising up when you're in a crowd of strangers who don't share the same values or attitudes that you do? Have you ever been in a crowd that has just so strongly fired you up in a way that surprised you? Sometimes pastors wonder about what it is that can make a crowd get so enthusiastic about athletes chasing a ball to make a basket or a touchdown or a home run, but barely manage to get enough enthusiasm about Jesus to get themselves to church on a Sunday morning. That's not your situation, is it? As we listen to our gospel lesson today, we're reminded that Jesus was fully human and fully God. Jesus experienced the same kinds of feelings about crowds as we do. And yet Jesus helps us see ways that we can be open to possibilities. See the ways that with God all things are possible. Our gospel lesson comes from Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. Jesus crossed the lake again, and on the other side, a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Jairus, one of the synagogue leaders, came forward. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded with him, "My daughter is about to die. Please come and place your hands on her so that she can be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A swarm of people were following Jesus, crowding in on him. A woman was there who had been bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a lot under the care of many doctors and had spent everything she had without getting any better. In fact, she had gotten worse. Because she had heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his clothes. She was thinking, "If I can just touch his clothes, I'll be healed." Her bleeding stopped immediately, and she sensed in her body that her illness had been healed. At that very moment, Jesus recognized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples said to him, "Don't you see the crowd pressing against you? Yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus looked around carefully to see who had done it. The woman, full of fear and trembling, came forward. Knowing what had happened to her, she fell down in front of Jesus and told him the whole truth. He responded, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace, healed from your disease." While Jesus was still speaking with her, messengers came from the synagogue leader's house saying, "Jairus, your daughter has died. Why bother the teacher any longer?" But Jesus overheard their report and said to the synagogue leader, "Don't be afraid. Just keep trusting." He didn't allow anyone to follow him except Peter, James, and John, James's brother. They came to the synagogue leader's house, and he saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "What's all this commotion and crying about? The child isn't dead, she's only sleeping." They laughed at him, but he threw them all out. Then, taking the child's parents and his disciples with him, he went to the room where the child was. Taking her hand, he said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Young woman, get up." Suddenly, the young woman got up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. They were shocked. He gave them strict orders that no one should know what had happened. Then he told them to give her something to eat. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Holy God, our rock and our redeemer, guide the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts as we seek to know your presence this morning. Amen. Two stories, two females, one grown, one still what we would call a child, 12 years old. One, the child of a highly respected leader of the synagogue, and the other, an impoverished woman labeled as unclean because of her affliction, which had caused her to give up every resource she had. The woman lived in fear and isolation and was ashamed of how she had been healed. She fell at the feet of Jesus to confess. The daughter of Jairus stood in the esteemed shadow of her father. However, even Jairus threw himself at the feet of Jesus, pleading for her healing. There were also two crowds, with each one driven by their own agenda and relying on their own wisdom. In all this, though, Jesus saw their faith, the faith of the woman who was healed and of the father who sought healing for his daughter. Jesus responded with loving compassion, compassion for the woman who was suffering, compassion for the father who was dealing with that agonizing pain of possibly losing his child. The responses of Jesus to both of them were responses of love, compassion, and care. But please understand something as we hear this story and reflect on it. It was not the clothes of Jesus, things that he wore that had magical powers. It was not that Jesus had spells or incantations or that he was a healer with powers to sell to the highest bidder. Over and over, throughout our New Testament, we see what the power of love and compassion can do. The God of love, mercy, and compassion is still at work in this world through us, even today. The God of possibilities has shown us over and over that love is stronger than hate. Love is stronger than fear. Love is stronger than any other force in this world today. Love. And not the mushy, sentimental kind of love, but the intentional, compassionate, strong kind of love that just inspires us to stand up for justice, that inspires us to set prisoners free, to speak up on behalf of others. That kind of love. To take action that reflects the presence of God in us and our faith in God. The crowds that were around Jesus didn't understand this. So, have you ever been in the company of someone who has such high moral character that you were inspired to work at being a better version of yourself than you ever have been before? Their noble decisions, the way they lived their lives, made you believe that you could do more and be more than you ever had done before. You could step out in faith. You could stand up to a crowd. You can trust God. When God calls you to speak up or stand up or take action, God gives us those opportunities. And we can make a difference. We can overcome the pressure of a crowd. We can overcome evil and injustice and oppression in whatever ways they present themselves to us. Friends, we are all human. Our human heroes don't come equipped with superpowers or wear magical clothing. When you touch the clothes of heroes, they're just like our clothes, aren't they? We can all name people who have stood up to bullies. We can name people who've spoken a word at just the right moment that changed the course of events, sent things in a different direction. We can name people who have reached out in compassion that just put us to shame. Maybe you've pushed right past someone who was struggling, only to see another person stop and help them, and then you wished you had done the same. Maybe you've been afraid to get involved, even when you saw a need. There's so many everyday heroes all around us, recognized by some, but not always. They are sitting in this sanctuary right now. They often go to the same meetings, the same classes that we go to. They live down the street, or maybe in your house. Maybe a name comes to your mind, a situation of a hero, one who lets the love of Jesus just flow through them with such mercy and love and compassion. You see, if we seek, we will find. If we watch for the opportunities that God gives us to show mercy and love and compassion to others, we will be heroes too. We can rise above the crowds and follow Jesus. Even if we find ourselves this morning sitting here thinking that we're really more like the woman who needed to be healed, or the child that was near death and couldn't do anything to save herself, the God we worship tells us that with God, all things are possible. With God, we can know life in ways that we never before imagined. With God, even if our plate is full of troubles and just overflowing with them, we have healing at hand. We don't ever give up showing others the way to live life in Jesus' name. We can tell one another about stories about heroes we've known. I can tell you about a janitor in a church who, in our Harbor District, who prayed such a sincere, humble, beautifully authentic prayer in a group of pastors that he had us all in tears. We can talk about the father at Duke Hospital who volunteered to give part of his liver to his daughter who was dying of cancer. We can tell about the person who reached out here at Wrightsville with so much compassion and care to help someone else. These stories truly do happen over and over, and every single one of them is a hero who changed lives by what they did. The question today for us, in this time, in this place, is what will we do? Will we go out from here today, ready and willing to put our hand on God's hand and look for the ways that God shows us to bring love and mercy to others? Do we forge ahead, and even when others would shrink with fear or prejudice, so that the God of possibilities can work in us and through us? Jesus said to the little girl to get up. Well, does God call your name? Does God say to you, get up, stand up, speak up? Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. heard that call. He heard God say to him to speak up, to do something. He used, and if you read much of Dr. King's writings, you see he used many of the same words and language and phrases that we would use today. But he stood up for justice. He stood up in front of the crowds and spoke God's word. God worked through him. So open your life to the possibilities as Jesus' love shines through you each and every day. Will you pray with me? Holy and merciful God, how are you calling us today? How would you have us serve you? Where is the one who is suffering and needs us to help? We place our trust in you, Lord. Give us strength and courage and remind us that with you, we are never alone. By faith, we can serve you. Through Jesus, we pray. Amen. Friends, I invite you to turn to page 381 in your hymnals. Let us sing together, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us.